6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side. Drop pass. Big shot. Score. That's John Merrill. Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1.
Welcome into Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. On a game day, game number 47, the Columbus Blue Jackets come to town. First ever meeting between the two franchises. Columbus coming in 26-18-3, 55 points on the ledger, third in the Metropolitan against your Vegas Golden Knights, 31-11-4, 66 points high atop the Western Conference. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace getting ready for a fun night at T-Mobile Arena. How you doing, Frank?
Doing good. It was getting back to City National, chatting with the guys a little bit, watching them skate around some, and going to enjoy these next two games because then they're back on the road again for a while. So if you get a chance, be sure to head on over to T-Mobile because Columbus tonight, the Islanders on Thursday, and then All-Star break and a road trip again.
Yeah, big long road trip, so it was fun to get up at the arena today, Ryan, and it was fun seeing the boys skate around. Light little game day workout.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Good skate, 30 minutes, something somewhere in there, and everybody looked pretty loose. It was nice. It was good to see this team, you know, 2-1-1 on the road in the four games, and some people would consider that a slump for a team that has been as good as the Vegas Golden Knights have, but they're playing good hockey, and I think that's going to continue tonight.
We're going to see Columbus for the very first time. They, like I said, are third in the Metropolitan, having a pretty good season. I hope to get into back-to-back playoff years. So let's take a look at tonight's game, your Vegas Golden Knights game night preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house. And when you look at this team, Frank, how would you characterize Columbus? Are they a banging team? Are they a skate-first team? Are they an offensive skill team? How would you categorize them?
Well, they definitely have some offensive skill, and they can play a physical game, but I think that this team, like a lot of successful teams, start with their goaltending. When Sergei Bobrovsky is on, he's one of, if not the best goalie in the entire NHL. He's very difficult to get pucks by. When they get a lead, they can be deadly, but they do have some offensive firepower and some pieces. They seem to be getting better here and there when they stay healthy as the season goes along, as their chemistry gets there. I know when Artemi Panarin joined them early on in the season, he wasn't necessarily scoring goals, but he started to get more assists in that. So they're a very dangerous team, I believe, come playoff time because of Bobrovsky and that.
When you see their forward lines, Ryan, they're a team that skates hard and works hard, but would you look at them as more like a Western Conference Pacific Division type team, or more like a Blackhawks skill passing team?
I wouldn't consider them either one of those teams. Maybe kind of a mashup of that. They've got guys that can skate the puck. They've got defensemen, most notably Seth Jones and Zach Werenski, that can skate the puck out of their own zone. They can, you know, elude coverage, and they're really good at starting and initiating the rush. But they've also got some forwards that are known more as bangers. Nick Foligno's a banger. Boone Jenner's a banger, likes to play a heavy game, cycle game down low. And then you've got guys like Wenberg, and you've got guys like Cam Atkinson. He's still not back, is he?
No, Cam Atkinson, he practiced practice for the first time on Monday. They expect him to be back sooner rather than later. He's right about the fourth week of his 4 to 6 week absence.
Yeah, it's a good thing for the Golden Knights because Cam Atkinson's one of those guys that can score in tight. He can score on the rush. He can kind of score in all different ways. So it's a good thing that he's not going to be in the game tonight for sure. But I mean, they've got a good mix of skill. They've got a good mix of speed, and they've got a good mix of banging the net and trying to get you off your game with some physicality. So I would say they're kind of a hybrid of maybe the Chicago Blackhawks and maybe more in line with the Winnipeg Jets, I'd say. Like a lot of guys that can score, a lot of guys that can hit, But they don't get caught up in one thing or the other. They do. They play their game, and that's how they're effective.
One thing they do is rely on their goaltender, like you had said, Frank, Sergei Bobrovsky. What's interesting about him coming in tonight is he has not been on the ice in quite some time because of their bye week. Korpisalo played out of the bye week. Sergei Bobrovsky's not played an NHL game in 10 days. Do you think that has any factor on how he'll be tonight?
Well, I mean, it possibly could have a factor on it. Maybe he's a little bit rusty. Maybe he wants to feel a couple pucks to get into the groove of a game situation, which is why I think the Vegas Golden Knights would like to get off to an early start. And I know that's easy to say, and it's pretty much, I mean, obviously, yeah, everybody knows that, and it's what you say every game. When Vegas gets their first goal, they're absolutely incredible, and their winning percentage is through the ceiling. But, yeah, the longer the game goes and the more comfortable – Bobrovsky gets in net, I think the more dangerous he gets and the better he gets in a game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because Bobrovsky is one of those goalies that wants to play every night. And you've seen it over the last couple of years. The guy hardly gets any games off. I think he started 72 games last year, something ridiculous like that. So the fact that he hasn't been in game action in 10 days, I think that might... It might do more between the ears than it does physically for him. So... yeah, I think it's a really good strategy for the Golden Knights to just kind of throw everything that they can on net early to see if he's missing some of that sharpness because he hasn't played in over a week.
And it's a new team, new building, new lighting, all sorts of new things for Bobrovsky. You'd think a veteran of his caliber, though, with the international experience, perhaps maybe that doesn't bother him as much as we would think it would. But I like what you say, Ryan. He is used to being a volume game guy, and to have all of that time off, particularly when he's not nursing any kind of injury, it's just been circumstance that's created that. It's probably a new challenge for him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to be something new for him, but if he can learn to figure that out, or just figure that aspect out, then maybe he can sit a little bit more and be fresher going into the playoffs, which I think would benefit him, and it would also benefit the rest of his team because you're not depending on a guy to play 72 times before you even get to the games that matter.
Yeah, and of their 45 games, he started 38 of them this season, 21-14-3 in those games. So he is a volume goalie. That's actually probably more rest than he got last year at this point of the season or whatever. But he likes to be in there, and like I said, the longer he gets in, the more he gets a feel for a game. If you get him early, like a lot of goalies, sometimes they can give up a couple goals here and there. But if he stays there and he gets that confidence rolling and the team gets the confidence in him, he can be absolutely lights out.
We'll see how he does against the power play. Columbus's, their special teams have struggled, whether it be the power play or the penalty kill this season. We've seen the Golden Knights struggle with the power play. They got two goals on the power play in Carolina, hopefully starting to come out of the funk. And I know you talked to Gerard Gallant today, Ryan, about the power play and asking him sort of what the difference was, or was there any difference, and what did he have to say about that?
Yeah, and it's funny because I almost phrased the question differently because I was in agreement with what Gerard Gallant said, and essentially there wasn't a change. The puck just went in. And I agree with that in so much as for the last couple of games before the Golden Knights finally got a goal on the power play, they were getting their chances. They were hungry around the net. It just wasn't going in. And sometimes that happens. It was much better than it was against Edmonton. It was much better than it was against Nashville when they went 0 for 10 in those two games and lost two one-goal games that they arguably should have won because they were the better team in those two starts. So I agree with him in that it went in, but at some point you have to start making that it went in more consistent. Whether it's one every two games or one every three games or whatever it is, one every four attempts or five attempts, you have to start getting a little bit more consistent with the power play moving forward, especially with the condensed schedule and how much these guys are going to be playing over the next 2.5 months.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, the first power play goal that they had in that last game, I was happy about it, but I looked at it and I went, well, they beat Scott Darling, who wasn't playing very well. So, again, was that the power play or was that bad goaltending by Carolina? When they got the later one then I thought, okay, that's a little bit more because I think Cam Ward's been playing better than that. But that's why it would be really nice to see them beat some quality goaltenders. If they get a power play goal or two tonight, I think that's against a quality-type goaltender. Because, yeah, they're on the doorstep a lot, and they are close to it. I still think that once in a while they overpass it a little bit. I would like to see some of the guys at the blue line just tee it up and let everybody else crash the net a little bit more than they've been doing. I understand always wanting to make the perfect pass and making the easy goals, but sometimes you just have to fire it up. You have the extra man out there. Use that to your advantage.
Colin Miller was a central figure on both power play goals. He had one of the goals and an assist. He talked to us earlier today about what they can do as a unit to take the success that they've had 5-on-5 and transfer that to the power play.
We can take some of our 5-on-5 play and convert into our 5-on-4. You know, I think that it's the power play, like you said. I mean, sometimes you get a little bit too cute with trying to set plays and stuff like that. But I think when our power play is most effective, you know, we're keeping it simple and just having those outside shots and the continual kind of circular pressure type thing. So, I don't know. I think, like you said, we do have set plays, but I think we're more just trying to, you know, create those offensive chances by keeping it simple. Just shots and energy. I mean, you see our 5-on-5 play, it's all about speed. It's all about recovering pucks, you know, in the offensive zone and stuff like that. So it's really just that. The sooner we can get in their zone and the sooner we can, you know, recover those pucks after the shots, then that's better for us.
He addressed the issue that they've had in terms of getting into the offensive zone, Frank, and getting set up. That seems to have killed a majority of their time on the power play. And if they can get in and get set up, then guys like Colin Miller can be successful.
Yeah, it's kind of like a three-step thing when it comes to the power play and doing that. Win the faceoff, number one, if you can, because that gets you puck possession immediately. Then have the play set up and get in there. Sometimes you have to just dump and chase it. If you're going to do that, then everybody has to know that that's what you're going to do. Sometimes they'll get a little bit stood up at the blue line when they try to finesse it in and bring it in like that. If the other team knocks it out, sometimes that's an easy clear. So, and then you set it up, and obviously I said I'd like to see him maybe take a couple more shots and have guys crash the net. But you do have to have it set up before you can do that. You can't just throw it in from behind the blue line because that's pointless.
Yeah, it's interesting because you expect that just because you have one more guy on the ice, you should get to all the loose pucks. You should be able to bring the puck in over the blue line. But when a team goes down a man, everything gets simplified, and all you've got to do is clog up the neutral zone. What do we talk about with the Golden Knights all the time? They feast on turnovers, and they play really, really well in transition. They execute well in transition. Well, when you're on the power play, if you don't win the faceoff and you don't set up immediately and the puck is dumped down in your own zone, everyone knows what's coming next. You have to transition from your zone to the offensive zone. If you've got guys that are just lined up across the blue line, it's going to make it very difficult for you to carry the puck into the zone, and therefore the Golden Knights have an issue getting the puck back in. That's why they waste a lot of time on the power play. So I'd like to see maybe a simpler play. Use your speed to your advantage. Maybe just a long pass or a dump and chase, something like that. Create a mismatch down low. And then once you get control of that puck, put it right back to the blue line. Alex Tuck, go park in front of the net, and then try to get a quick shot off. If you can overmatch on one side, it usually leads to a mismatch on the other side of the ice. Try to take advantage of that. I don't know that I would continue to try to carry it in, knowing that these teams are just trying to shut down your transition.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace getting ready for tonight's game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Ryan, a perfect illustration of what you were talking about on 5-on-5 happened to create the first goal in Carolina. Alex Tuck steals the puck in the neutral zone, gets it ahead to Will Carrier, who drives to the net, gives a beautiful back pass to Pierre-Édouard Bellemare to get the goal. And Pierre-Édouard Bellemare addressed that goal earlier today.
To be honest, that wasn't really much of my goal. It was Will Carrier's goal. I got to play in the D zone, kick it out. Alex Tuck just catch it in the air, made an unbelievable backhand pass to Will that got speed, and then he creates so much room for himself with his speed that two guys have to jump on him. And at the last second, he pulled the brakes and just made a pass in between both of those guys' legs to me, that is by myself in front of the net. I fired it, and I don't really know where he went, but he went in, so it's all him, really.
Obviously, you'll take the offense when you can get it, but I want to talk to you about kind of the rotating cast that's been there on your line, especially with the injuries as of late. Is it hard for you to find that consistency, or is everyone going out there with the same goal in mind?
No, I think we are. Like, we've been having like maybe four or five guys that have been rotated because of the injuries, and every five of us have exactly the same set of mind, so it's been quite easy. Whoever came on the line and jumped with us know exactly what we're all about, that line, and what we have to do to be able to be successful for the team, and not especially offensively, but maybe as a shutdown line, everybody has done the work. So that's been really easy for either me or Will or Nosey or Lindy or Carpi. When one guy jumps and it's a new guy, to all right, what are we doing tonight and what do we want to do to be successful for the team?
What does it say about you guys, though, that you can just kind of go in interchangeably and you know that Gerard Gallant has confidence in whatever lineup is on the ice?
Well, it's fun. To be honest, it is fun. I mean, we are a fourth line that plays above 10 minutes most of the nights. It's not all the fourth line in the league that play this much, so we can't really complain. And then, to be honest, that when you are 2 minutes at the end of each period and you hear your name going up and you know they're going to put their top line, and still, like, you know, he throw you out there and he trusts you fully. Every game your confidence gets a little bit better in this situation, and I mean, at the end of the day, you get just better at it, and that's all you can do to help the team, try to be better at it.
Two games at home here at T-Mobile Arena, then the All-Star break, and then the schedule gets really condensed. You guys play almost every other day for about 2.5 months or so. Is that better to get that rhythm of playing all the time like that, or do you have to do something special because the grind is really about to start up?
I mean, I think my perception of that view is a little bit different than some of the other guy, just because, I mean, if you ask a first liner at the half, you know, above 20 minutes a night, like after maybe six of those games in 12 days, like they might be like, okay, this is getting tough. For me, I'm around, like, you know, 10 to 15, so I still can manage myself and recover right for the next game. So I kind of like when it's that tight, because then it's, you know, it's getting serious. Like, it's down to the end of the season, playoff push and everything. So I like this situation, but I mean, it's just me personally. I wouldn't talk for the whole team, though.
And looking at Columbus, what are you guys going to have to do to shut down some of their more dynamic offensive guys like Nick Foligno and Artemi Panarin?
Well, they are, like, they have weapons, like, but the good thing is, I mean, we've played, I don't know how many games so far, 46 or something like this, and we've played, like, against 46 teams that had weapons too. And I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it's just another game with guys that are talented and which each shift is going to count. And when those guys are on the ice, maybe be a little bit tighter than them. Make sure you don't give them too much room, because, I mean, we know they can create room out of nothing. So make sure you're tight on them and finish every chance you have.
I know a lot of the people in the media made a big deal the other day when you guys got 66 points and were on top of the NHL. Tampa Bay won the game last night, so they're technically ahead, but you guys are still right there. But when it comes to the points, is that something you guys even look at? Because I know that you're not talking playoffs and stuff like that. Or is it just like every game is a chance to get two more points and that's how you're taking it a game at a time?
This is exactly what I've heard and what has been in the locker room. And this is what we put in emphasis on. It's like every game is 2 points that we need. And a lot of the time when you start the season, you know, you lose some game and you're like, those points hurt you so bad at the end of the season. Well, we've been trying to focus on those each single game to make sure that we are not losing those points that are like that can put you in a crucial place at the end. So it has been like this, and I think it's going to go like this for a while again. Like, you know, just focus on those 2 points. Like, we know we have two games before the break, but it doesn't matter right now. The only thing that matters is Columbus, and it's another big 2 points that we need to get.
That was Pierre-Edouard Bellemare. A lot to digest in that, Frank, but one of the things that stuck out to me was when he was talking about ice time and how top-heavy teams going into a compacted schedule, their top lines are going to get wound and ground down. And he feels like with the amount of ice time that he has, that he's going to be able to contribute. And the way that Gerard Gallant plays his guys, that with the more even ice time throughout the four lines, that they may be able to get through this in a way that other teams can't.
Yeah, not only the even ice time that they play throughout the lines, but also the fact that they're not afraid to give a guy a healthy day for a rest or something like that and kind of switch the pieces around a little bit. So, and that will be interesting to see if maybe some of the guys like Bellemare and his minutes go up a little bit, maybe somebody else's goes down a little, or how they adjust that. But I think we're still a long way off before they're even worried about that kind of stuff. They have the All-Star break coming up. Then it does condense. We'll see how it plays out from that point here. But right now, they have a lot of luxuries on this team, and that's one of them, the fact that you have four lines and the coach feels confident putting them all out there so the top two lines aren't taking all the action and getting wound down by the playoff time.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was really interesting in his remarks is when he's talking about the top two lines and he's saying heavy minutes, and I'm like, what are you talking about, heavy minutes? You're on the penalty kill. You know, there's no heavier minutes than your time on the penalty kill. But I love the guy. I think that he's fantastic, and I honestly don't think he realizes
how big a piece he is to this team. Because I asked him the question about rotating guys in and out of the line of that fourth line, and the mindset that changes or whatever the case may be. And I'll tell you what, when he missed those two games, that fourth line was not as good as it had been the entire year. He is the catalyst that makes that fourth line go, and he is the reason Coach Gerard Gallant has so much faith in their ability to play over 10 minutes a game. He's an unsung hero for me. And a big reason why this team is so good.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that he's so much of an unsung hero to us, because we know and we do respect what he does out there. When he got the penalty the other night, and you knew that the team had to kill the penalty without him on the ice, mm-hmm. was there anybody that's a Vegas Golden Knight fan that knows the game that wasn't holding their breath just a little bit, thinking this is going to be a little bit more difficult than it normally is because of the giant role he plays out there? And if you've been watching all these games and you're getting spoiled about how good this team is in it, and maybe you're not aware of how good they are, there's two players on the entire Columbus team, which is a pretty good team, that have over 30 points. The Golden Knights have six of them. Two Golden Knights have over 40 points. The most for anybody for Columbus is 38. What they're doing, the way that they score and they stop other teams from scoring and everything else, the team is playing incredible. Columbus is a very good team in a very good division. And when you look at them statistically like that, the depth shows in places like that, where you kind of look at it first and you're like, can this be right? And oh, by the way, Columbus has played one more game.
When you talk about heavy minutes, mm-hmm. Ryan, yep. let's revisit that for just a second, because Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, he plays on that penalty kill. We see him when Tomáš Nosek was healthy, we saw him out there. We see Eakin and Lindbergh and Carpenter and those kind of guys out there on the PK as well. We also see William Karlsson and Riley Smith, who are on your top line. And as the season goes and as the season progresses and as we get into that checkerboard, do you see Coach Gerard Gallant maybe trying to find a way to get those guys a little less time on the PK? Or are they so important that you need to keep them?
I think the answer to that is don't take penalties. I think Gerard Gallant's going to really, really stress the importance of not putting yourself in a bad situation in a game by taking unnecessary penalties. There are penalties that you can live with. There are penalties that you don't want to take. Anything in the offensive zone is a bad penalty. I don't think he's going to want or really appreciate any of those. But really, if you're trying to minimize the amount of minutes that you're going to have to put Riley Smith or William Karlsson out on the ice for penalty kill, you just want to start by taking less penalties. I think that's the answer to it. But you do have the luxury of having guys like Cody Eakin, guys like Pierre-Édouard Bellemare that can kill the majority of those penalties, so you don't have to rely as heavily on Riley Smith or William Karlsson.
Yeah, and I think some of it too might be depending on the game situation. If they're ahead by three goals or something like that, maybe he doesn't put those guys out there and he gives them a little bit more rest and gives somebody else an opportunity. If it's a big game and a close game and there's somebody close in the standings, maybe they play it a little bit differently. So with Gerard Gallant, who loves to go by his gut feelings a lot of times anyhow, I think it's almost a game-to-game, darn near a shift-to-shift or penalty-to-penalty type of situation. But I do agree with Ryan. Knowing Turk and what he's going to say to this team, he will keep it that simple. He'll just say, look, we got a grind part of the season here. We can't be spending time in the penalty box. Help your teammates out. Help yourself out. Help your goaltenders out. Play smart.
Yeah, play smart. And thus far they have, and the penalty kill has been spectacular. A ton more to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're going to have some tickets to give away for that Islander game on Thursday, so stick with us. When we come back, we're going to hear from one of William Karlsson's old teammates, Alexander Wennberg. We're also going to hear from John Tortorella. He's always got some fun stuff to say right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman behind the board. And a big game tonight for William Karlsson. And we have seen this theme all season long, guys. And it's kind of gone a little bit to the back burner. Most of the fellas have seen their old team. It's become an old story. But not so for William Karlsson. This will be his first time to see the Columbus Blue Jackets. And out of all of the guys who have stepped into a new role and found success, unlike they had at their previous stop, William Karlsson would have to be at the top of the list.
Yeah, I'd say so, probably. No, I don't think anybody in Columbus expected him or projected him to be a potential 32 to 38 goal scorer. And if they did, then they are idiots and shouldn't have let him go in the expansion draft. They should have figured out a way to protect him, because if you knew that this is what this kid's upside was going to be, shame on you for letting him go.
Yeah, something tells me that maybe they thought that he had a little bit of talent there, but they were trying to find a place to fit him in. They thought, well, he'll go to Vegas. You know, he might have a nice little career or something like that. I don't think anybody there knew exactly what they had in William Karlsson, and now their eyes are open and they've got to be kicking themselves.
In an interview with Brian Hedger that's up at the Blue Jackets website, Brian asked him, are you out to prove something? And instead of dodging the question like we often hear, if they're just going to go play one game at a time, whatnot, William Karlsson said, yeah. He said, yes, of course. I wanted to prove it to myself and to all the others that I can make it in this league and not just kill penalties and be a defensive guy, you know? So it feels good that I've shown myself and the staff here in Vegas that I can help offensively too.
No, it's fantastic. And you know, we've gotten some stock answers from some players over the course of the year, but some of them have given us pretty honest answers. I mean, Alex Tuch said he wanted to go up to Minnesota and stick it to him. Like, you like that emotion. I like that emotion. I want a guy that's so invested in what he's doing now and going back and showing his former team that you had every chance under the sun to keep me and you didn't, and now I'm going to come back and I'm going to cost you points. I love that. I love it.
No, I like it as well. And it also shows a human factor of you, because whether they admit to it or not, when somebody lets you go or when somebody lets you know that you're not wanted, you want to show them why they screwed up by not wanting you. And if you say that, well, it's just another game and this, that, and the other, you're either lying or you're a robot or something. Mm-hmm. Because, and I don't care what sport it is or whether it's on a personal relationship thing or a former job or anything else. You want to do as good as you can, especially when you know that the party that rejected you is watching.
One of the things, too, that's fun to see that kind of answer from William Karlsson is if you watch him at practice, and sometimes if you watch him in the game and you just look at his facial expression, you will wonder whether or not he even likes playing hockey, because he's just kind of out there and he skates and he does his thing, and there's no smile, there's no frown, there's no... He looks like a guy at the copy machine, but to see that he does have that fire in him is fun and refreshing.
I think that he's controlled emotion, mm-hmm. and it's so funny because of the nickname that he's been gifted this year in Vegas as Wild Bill Karlsson. But I don't know. I like the silent guy that just goes out there, knows he's better than he is, shows it every single night. And then when he's asked about it, he says, hey, did you see my game? I'm better than you thought I was. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's great.
He had a lot of friends in Columbus. He said he got together with them on Monday for dinner. But no better friend than Alexander Wennberg, a fellow countryman from Sweden. The two of them have played together on national teams. They played together in Columbus last year. And Alexander Wennberg raved about William Karlsson when he was asked about their friendship.
We try as much as we can. Really? I mean, yeah, we're both busy. And I mean, we play hockey. But every now and then you check up on each other for sure. Yeah.
You told him to slow the hell down.
No, I tell him to go harder, right?
23
I mean,
goals.
Yeah, it's insane, and I mean, I'm so happy for him. He's a great player, and that this year is like really breaking up for him. It's just good for him.
Yeah, you know he's a good player. I think he had 24, more than that, but 24 goals in him. Did you see that?
I mean, if you ask anyone, I don't know if anyone would say he was scored 24 goals. But you know what? He became hot, and he's staying hot, and that's just how it is. And I mean, even asking himself, he's just not trying to overthink it. He's just out there playing, and I mean, you end up in a good spot, and after that, he just keeps going.
How much of that is just motivation on his part, probably, that he kind of wanted to show that, you know, what kind of player he is?
I mean, probably not me you should ask. You should probably ask him about that. I don't know how he feels about it, or, I mean, obviously I asked, but for him, it's nice for him to get opportunity to play in Vegas, get more minutes and opportunity in power plays, and I mean, he's making the best out of it.
You miss just kind of have him around as a friend? Here?
For sure. I mean, he's a great friend of mine, but you know what? I'm going to see him in the summer, so catch up when that happens.
And you're both done playing in June.
In June, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When you're both done playing in June. But you can see, like I said, just how much people like him around the league.
Yeah, I can't get over that June comment. That's great. I mean, one of these teams will be playing in June. It's probably not going to be the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, but they can't get together till both teams are done playing. So,
I don't know that. I don't know that that's the context of it. But I'm just saying.
I'm trying to bail the guy out.
Right.
One wouldn't expect that Brian Hedger, the Columbus Blue Jackets version of Gary Lawless, would insinuate that his own team would not be playing in June. It's kind of a
you can't
toe the company line.
You can't have a version of Gary Lawless. There's only one, baby. There's only one.
That's true. We love ourselves some Uncle Gary. Always fun hearing his comments. He was just on the NHL Network, Gary Lawless was.
I know. We saw him. We were watching him as we were listening.
Right. So don't turn us off. But if you catch a replay... Gary Lawless.
Well, he's off now,
he's
so
off
don't
now.
Worry.
But he is on there a lot. So you can turn on the NHL Network and you can find him there a lot. He's kind of become the NHL Network face of the Golden Knights whenever they have on their On the Fly and their other shows.
He's the darling of the Golden Knights.
And not the Scott darling because he actually wins.
Yes, that is correct. So, hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
I know one of your favorite subjects in all of hockey is the Vegas flu.
Love it.
And we haven't heard so much about it lately.
You know when it stopped? When Toronto stayed off the strip and still got beat really, really badly. That was the last I ever heard of Vegas flu.
Worse than a lot of the teams that actually did stay on the strip and supposedly had the Vegas flu.
Yep, exactly.
So as we know that some, as the Toronto Maple Leafs did, took the conservative approach. They went off the strip, tried to downplay it. Not so Columbus. Columbus trying a very new tactic. They ask where they were going to stay, if they were going to fly in late, fly out early. Coach John Tortorella said, not us. We want to go early. We want to be on the strip. How do you feel about that? We want to be there early. He said, I think when you start trying to treat your players like 10-year-olds and babysit them and don't allow them to go out and enjoy some of the cities they're in, you're going down the wrong road. I trust our team.
That's good. I think that if the Columbus Blue Jackets come out and play a really good game tonight, regardless of the outcome, regardless if they lose, win, whatever, but if they play a really good game and it's competitive and it's back and forth and they're not out of it in the first 10 minutes, does this put to bed everything that anyone's ever said about Vegas flu? Does it put to bed that a team can come here, they can do something if they want to, they can not do something if they want to, and at the end of the day, when they go to work, it's one team versus another team, just like it always is at any other city.
And not only that, but it also poses the question, if Columbus does have success tonight, since people love to copycat successful coaches and teams, does that mean other coaches are going, you know, maybe we're focused, you know, maybe we should just say, look, you're in Vegas, enjoy yourself, but we still have a job to do.
No, I like it. I think it's great stuff there from John Tortorella, because if, like he said, they're not 10 years old. Like, most of these guys are regimented to the point where they understand exactly what they need to do, what their individual bodies need to do in order to get ready for a game. And if someone's going to be so selfish as to do something that would prevent them from giving their best for this particular game, then that's on the team, but it's not going to be every single player, because believe it or not, winning means more to these guys than getting trashed in Vegas.
John Tortorella said, now we're all worried. Are they in shape? Are they taking care of themselves? Not me. I want them to go out. I think playing guilty is a big part of being a really good player in the National Hockey League.
This is fantastic. Like, especially if they do get blown out. Like, if this comes back to bite John Tortorella in the butt, it is going to be such a great post-game press conference. I can't wait.
It will be interesting to see. I want to see when you get to talk to him after the game tonight, regardless of what the outcome is.
Right.
And then you can bring up the, still don't believe in the Vegas flu, or did you do the right thing, or this, that, or the other. So one thing about Tortorella, he probably will have a soundbite waiting.
We're not enough guys playing guilty tonight?
Wheatgrass smoothies and protein shakes might be good for a player health-wise, but they do nothing to build a team's chemistry. Going out and letting off a little steam, on the other hand, can do wonders for it.
No, I agree with him. I think that it's a long season, and there are times in the schedule where you can get your team together, especially if things aren't going well, and they haven't been going as well as they would have liked in Columbus. John Tortorella has talked about them just being a 500 hockey club. They're battling through some injuries. So sometimes it's a good thing to crack open a beer or two and talk it out. Like, if you don't have, right? If you're not good on the penalty killer, you're not good on the power play, sometimes it's good to go out with your unit and just have a few beers.
He commented on having a few beers. He said, "We don't do that anymore. Heaven forbid." Tortorella said, "We have agents and their whole entourage making sure that you drink carrot juice and all that stuff there and this and that there. And holy crap, you can't have a beer or something like that. That's going to dehydrate you. That's what our game is all about. Let them have a little fun. Let us have some personality."
You know what? You can take every smoothie and every health drink and carrot juice and all that too. You can still spike that stuff if you want to.
It wouldn't be very much fun, though. I wouldn't do it. No, I absolutely love these comments. I hope that John Tortorella is in that good of a mood after tonight's game. I hope it comes with a loss, but I hope he's in a really good mood because he has to know he's setting himself up for a tough press conference. And this is a guy that in the past, when his team hasn't played very well, he has thrown, let's call it what it is, temper tantrums, and hasn't answered questions from the media. I hope that if Columbus has a bad game tonight, he at least goes up there and addresses questions on this, because it's going to be a huge topic, not here to us, because we don't care, but it's going to be a huge topic in Columbus.
So are you saying that if they lose 6-0, you might offer him a bottle of carrot juice?
No, no, what I'm saying is if they lose 6-0, I think he's got to have a couple of beers and talk it over. Heaven forbid it might dehydrate. I bet you they're all dehydrated. That's probably what it is.
Could be. Where do you stand on the beer versus carrot juice debate, Frank?
Well, I'm certainly not a big beer drinker, but I've had more beers in my life than I have carrot juice.
Carrot juice is oddly so. I like wheatgrass juice.
Something more than zero isn't
carrot juice.
I eat baby carrots, but I don't necessarily put them in the juicer.
Well, we're just going to make Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace's day, because not only have we talked about John Tortorella, but now we're going to talk about his second favorite coach in the NHL, one Mike Babcock.
Oh, yeah.
Who is going to receive the Order of Hockey in Canada this year.
Yeah, let's pretend like we know what that is.
The Order of Hockey was established in 2012 by Hockey Canada and has recognized 21 honorees, including Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Mark Messier, Mario Lemieux, Pat Quinn, and Scotty Bowman for their contributions to Canadian hockey.
He's won some gold medals. That makes sense.
Yes.
Good for you, Mike Babcock.
Yeah. He won the gold medal in Salt Lake City in Torino. So, good for you.
Has nothing to do with the team. It was all him.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to lead them. Somebody has to make sure that they go out and have beers at the Olympics and bond.
Was it properly making those Christmas cookies that put him over the top and got him this award?
It could be. It could be.
Because I mean, he took that very serious.
He did.
Yeah. See, I'm okay with it because it's about Canadian national hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a major issue if this was like an NHL type award, because while he's a very good hockey coach, he's got one Stanley Cup.
Right.
That's it. And like, if you're going to start talking about guys like, you know, Scotty Bowman and Pat Quinn and some of the other names that you mentioned there, you got to start talking about more career accomplishments than one Stanley Cup. However, internationally, Mike Babcock has done very well for himself in Canada. Of course, it also helps that you've got Sidney Crosby and, you know, pretty much an all-star team up and down your lineup, John Tavares and
yes, know. And this is exclusively for contributions to the national program.
Then so. Good for him.
Although he is one of three people receiving this award this year.
Yes, it is Mike Babcock and it is Danielle Goyette, who is also going in to the Hall of Fame, and Ryan Smith as well.
Captain Canada.
And that will be given out in London, Ontario on June the 18th.
Do you ever see the thing with Ryan Smith where he got like lit up in a men's league game?
No.
Like, so after he hung up the skates, after he retired from the NHL, he was playing in some Canadian men's league, some rec league, and some guy just lit him up, hit him right to the head. He had to go to the hospital. It was pretty crazy. It was like big story in Canada.
Wow.
You don't lay out Captain Canada.
No, no.
You don't do
that. Not in a men's league.
No, it's stupid.
Oh, that's terrible.
They take the fake Stanley Cup very seriously up there in Canada.
Yes, yes, they do. Well, you know, for as passionate as they are, some Americans can get pretty rowdy about our hockey as well. And when we come back, we are going to check in with an American in Canada who did so last night. Got pretty rowdy himself right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We do have tickets to give away. If you want to go see the Islanders on Thursday, give us a call, 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. Caller number 15, you're headed to the Islanders. We'll see you on the other side of the break and talk about that angry American.
Off the boards and in with a head of steam is Nylander. Fires the rebound.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace. Looking at Austin Matthews scoring a goal, emphatically pointing towards the ice. Fellas, what happened? Take me through. Why is Austin Matthews so angry about scoring a goal?
Well, it goes back to the shift prior to the eventual goal. What ended up happening is Austin Matthews did end up scoring a goal. It was waved off on a marginal, at best, goalie interference call. By the way, side note, I have no idea what goalie interference is anymore. I think the NHL has done a fantastic job of screwing that up completely over the course of the entire year. So take your pick. If there's a goal and it looks like there's contact, just throw the coach's challenge out there, because 50% of the time you'll be right and 50% of the time you'll be wrong. And most of the time it'll be the wrong call anyway.
Is goalie interference now like the NFL's version of a catch?
Yeah, I don't, yeah, probably. Yeah, it's there's no consistency whatsoever. But when the goal was disallowed, the look on Austin Matthews' face was fantastic. It was just dismay, disbelief. He looked completely upset. And so what does he do? The next shift out there, he scores a goal, emphatically points to the net as the ref is pointing to the net. And he was saying, "This one counts. I dare you to look at me and not give me some respect right now." It was so good. The personality from Austin Matthews in that play alone was worth everything. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, they lost the game, but it was still really good.
And unfortunately, plays for a Canadian team, so we don't get to watch him on American television.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of, like, every player has like a moment. Like Timo Solani, right? He has the glove in the air, shoot it down moment. Jaromir Jagr has the salute moment. That was Austin Matthews' trademark moment. Like, that's going to live on beyond Austin Matthews in the NHL. Like, everyone's going to go back and say, "Oh yeah, 4 goals in his debut. That's cool. They lost that game." But this one, Austin Matthews shows up the referee after scoring a goal. It was fantastic.
But you don't think that this will become his goal celebration from this point on?
Maybe not. Probably not. No.
But right now, like in the clubhouse, this is the early leader for what the Austin Matthews statue will look like outside the arena.
I imagine that the statue will have a Stanley Cup attached to it, because I think Austin Matthews will win one. I don't know that Connor McDavid will, but I'm good with it. I like the point. It's fantastic.
And as you said, they lost the game. And Frank, don't look now, but those Colorado Avalanche have won 10 straight.
Colorado Avalanche have won 10 straight. The Boston Bruins are trying to win their 17th, go their 17th game with getting at least 1 point. There's a couple hot teams out there in the NHL right now.
There are some hot teams, and the Vegas Golden Knights are one of them. They're going to be on the ice tonight. A 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame. Frank and I will be there outside on the concourse at T-Mobile Arena, taking you all the way through intermission reports and the post-game show as well. So stick right here on Fox Sports Radio for all your Golden Knights coverage. And I'm looking forward to this one tonight. Should be a good time. I'm anxious to see if they drank their spinach juice or if they drank their suds before tonight's game. Stick around. A T.C. Martin Show. The Doctor is next. He's got Leonard Ellerbe, CEO of Mayweather Productions. We're out of here. We'll see you down at the arena tonight. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock, puck drop.